Amen. We remain standing now as we read these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Will you read this with me? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. So we are continuing a sermon series called Grateful, learning about the life-changing power of giving thanks. We are reading a book called Diana Butler Bass called Grateful, about the same topic. And we've been going through section by section for the last couple of weeks. We'll continue another two as we learn about what gratitude does in our life. This is also the time that we talk about stewardship. You see your estimate of giving card in your bulletin, and I'd like you to join us as we pray about what we have, and what we are called to do in response to that. And we're learning about gratitude this week, and specifically about intentional gratitude. Last week we talked about how gratitude is an emotion, and it's exactly true. Gratitude is an emotion. The best response of gratitude is this natural giving thanks, right? This natural thing that happens when something good happens to us, we naturally give thanks to that person or give thanks to God, that it is an emotion, and that is true. That is true. But gratitude is also something that we do intentionally. And best done, gratitude is an intentional habit. And so this evening we're going to talk about habits, how they form in our life, and what we are to do with them. We learned this from Duke University. They found that more than 40% of actions people perform each day weren't actual decisions, but were habits. That almost half of our decisions throughout our day aren't actually decisions that we consciously make, but they are habits. They are habits. And maybe you don't think that's true. Well, you know, you just take a look at like your daily life, right? Like maybe in the morning you have this routine. You know, you have this routine and things you do. You know, like maybe the first thing you do is take your medicine. You know, like you gotta make sure that you take it. And have you ever like gone through like half the day and like wondered if you took the pill you were supposed to take, you know, and you're like, did I do that or not? Because it wasn't a decision you made. It was a habit, right? It was a habit, something you do routinely. This thing that is programmed, your brain functions at a lower capacity when we function on habit. Then we do this thing, right? That brushing our teeth is a habit. Hopefully it's a habit, right? It's a habit. It's something we do that's routine, you know, and like part of the morning or part of the evening, we do this thing and it functions, and we're not constantly thinking, you know, I got to brush this tooth and that tooth and this tooth and that tooth. No, we're brushing our teeth, right? We're doing the habit, the thing that is routine in our life. Have you ever left in the morning? You ever left in the morning and gotten to work and wondered if you left the garage door up or down? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, like all of us have, right? And you get back, maybe you even drove back home and you realize that you did put it down, because putting the garage door down is a habit, right? Like it's something that we do. This instinctually, you push the button, you know, and the garage door goes down and you drive away. Your brain was functioning at a lower capacity because you were on habit. You were in this habit mode of your brain and you were functioning on habit, and you got there and you started to think about it. You said, did I ever make the decision to close the garage door? Well, no, you didn't. It was a habit. It was a habit, and gratitude is best done as an emotional and intentional habit. It is best done in that way. That if you have your sermon notes with you, invite you to take those out, that gratitude can be an intentional habit with the power to change our lives. Gratitude can be this kind of habit that actually has the power to change our lives, has the power to actually do something in our life, has the power to make our lives better. And we might say, well, like, you know, why? Why is it better as an intentional habit? And the truth is that gratitude is just like any other emotion. Gratitude is just like any other emotion. That gratitude begets more gratitude. Will you say that with me? Gratitude begets more gratitude. It's true. It's also true with anger. It's also true with envy and greed and all those other emotions, right? That gratitude begets more gratitude, that if we let it take a little part of our life, if we allow it in this space, it will actually create more and create more and create more until we are full of gratitude, that we can't help be thankful in all circumstances, as the scripture that we read today, right? That the gratitude begets more gratitude. It's just what happens. It's true with any emotion in our lives. So we have to be very clear and very particular about the emotions that we let in, about the things that we practice, because those emotions will only beget more of those emotions. Maybe you've heard of Charles Duhigg or read the book Power of Habit. He says this in his book. It says, the real power of habit is the insight that your habits are what you choose them to be. Your habits are what you choose them to be. And many of us say, no, my habit is just that. You know, it's like, it's just my habit. That maybe we have habits that, you know, we know aren't helpful. We know aren't good, but we like them anyways, you know? Like road rage, you know? Like somebody cuts me off and I'm habitually mad. You know, it's just maybe if like nobody's in your car, maybe if somebody is, you know, it's like some choice words with these people. And, you know, you're like having an entire conversation with somebody who's like not talking to you at all, right? And you're saying, like, no, that's just a habit. That's just what happens. No, we choose that. We choose that in our life. Maybe we have some unhealthy eating habits, you know, and we say, you know, it's nothing I choose, you know, it's just what I do, like I can't help it. And it's like, no, we choose it. Now it functions in a different part of our brain than the actual decision making, but it's something that we choose. It's something that we do, and we can choose habits for the good. And if we do that, it will have the power to change our life. We'll have the power to change our life. Maybe you have those habits in your life, and maybe somebody else has those habits in your life, and you've tried to change them. You've tried to white-knuckle them, and you've seen how that worked out, right? Or maybe you've seen habits in another person, and you've tried to change those, and maybe it looked a little bit like this.
What's this cartoon called again?
Oshikuru Demon Samurai.
And it's not a cartoon, it's anime.
Anime. You know, I knew a girl in high school named Anime. Anna Mae Fletcher. She was born with one nostril. Then she had this bad nose job and basically wound up with three.
You're here a lot now.
Oh, am I talking too much? I'm sorry. Zip.
Thank you. Chocolate?
Yes, please. Oh, hey, Kim. Yeah, you know what? Hold on. Let me take this in the hall. You'll never guess who they got to replace you with.
Okay. I know what you're doing.
Really?
Yes. You're using chocolates as positive reinforcement for what you consider correct behavior.
Very good. Chocolate?
No, I don't want that.
Have you ever tried to correct somebody else's bad habit? Has that ever worked well for you, right? It doesn't. It doesn't. That it takes us. It takes an intention. It takes a purpose. It takes our own mental capacity to change our habits. That we can't do that for somebody else. That we can only change us. We can only change ourselves, right? And so we're going to be talking about these things in our life, this habit in our own life, and how to create a habit of gratitude. How to create a habit of gratitude. How do we go about this? And Charles Duhigg and Diana Butler Bass, they both write about how to create a habit. And basically, there are three steps creating any habit in our life. There are three steps in creating habit. And we're going to talk about how to create this habit of gratitude. This habit of gratitude. And the first step of creating a habit is awareness. And the way we create a habit of gratitude is by living simply. is by living simply. Now, this idea comes from Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. He has a whole chapter about how to live simply, and these are just a few insights from that chapter. That if we're going to be aware of the things that we're grateful for, then we're going to cut back on the things that we have, right? And so first of all, we're going to be aware that our blessings are from God. The blessings that we have, the good things in our life are blessings from God, and we're going to be quick to remember that. We're going to be quick to remember that we were born in a place and into a situation that we did not control, right? That we didn't just like white knuckle, to be born in the United States or wherever we were, that we did not born to be white knuckle ourselves, to be born of parents that we were. We didn't do this ourselves. This was done for us. And so we're going to recognize the blessings that we have and recognize them from God. And we're going to recognize them from God. And then we're going to take a look at our stuff. You know, we're going to take a serious evaluation of the things we have. And I want to invite you to start considering this, that we would look at things, that we would see things for their usefulness rather than their status. Now, this is meddling in Edmund, right? Like, this is countercultural, right? See things for their usefulness rather than their status. That we would not see a thing for its brand, but we would see a thing for its usefulness. You know, is it useful for us? That maybe we don't need, a North Face jacket, that maybe we just need a jacket, you know? Like maybe we don't need that really nice car. Maybe we just need, a car, the biggest house, but we just need a house, that we would start seeing things for what they really are. That brands were created so that we would compete with one another. We realize this, right? Like at one point there was just one thing, there were like this guy made this shirt, and like he made like everybody's shirt, and then somebody came along and said like, I could make money off these people, I could have a better shirt. I'm not going to make it a better quality or anything like that, but I'm going to sell it at the really nice places, and it'll be the better shirt. And they made money off of us, that we would start seeing things for what they really are, that shirts are shirts, and that we would see things for their usefulness rather than their status. And take a serious evaluation of our stuff. And Richard Foster says this, and I love it. He says that we would develop a habit of giving things away. Oh, man, develop a habit of giving things away. Because truth be told, we could live with about half of our stuff and still live comfortably, right? We could live with about half of our stuff and still live comfortably. And you know how I know this? Because we don't live with half the stuff that we have, right? Like we have offsite storage for like stuff that won't fit with our other stuff. Like, what if we gave away half of our stuff? What if we had this process, this habit of giving things away? And think, like, if we gave them to people that we knew, or maybe if we didn't, maybe we just gave them to Goodwill, but if we started giving these things away, they would bring joy to other people. Like, some of the stuff we have is really nice, but we don't ever use it. And what if we gave it away to somebody else? It would bring them joy. And then, us giving away something to somebody else that brought them joy would give us joy. Like this would compound. We would get a return on it. Like, this would be good news if we developed this habit of giving things away. That we can really practice this. We can really practice this. And Richard Foster has this huge list of things that to do in order to practice living simply. And he ends the entire list with this, that we would shun what distracts us from seeking first the kingdom of God. That we would shun anything that distracts us from seeking first the kingdom of God. Jesus said, do this. Do it first. And then everything else will fall into place. That when our stuff, whenever our relationships, when our job, when anything comes between us and the kingdom of God, that we would shun it, that we would get rid of it. Jesus talks about this idea that we can't do two things at once. He talks about it in the Sermon on the Mount, the most popular sermon that Jesus gives, the most popular saying that he delivers, something that's like his thesis statement, what he believes for the world, he gives in Matthew 5-7. And in that sermon, he says this, no one can serve two masters. Don't be double-minded. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. And then he says, therefore, I tell you, because you cannot serve God and wealth, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, What you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then he goes into this sermon about the lilies of the field, right? Maybe we've heard it. You know, consider the lilies of the field. They neither spin nor toil, right? And maybe we've heard this. But we don't put the first passage, we don't put this with that. And Jesus says it's only because of this. It's only therefore, right? It's only therefore that we cannot serve God in wealth, that if we seek first the kingdom of God, then we won't have to worry about anything else, right? If we seek first the kingdom of God, if we do this, then we have the power not to worry. It's not like we can like work really hard at our job and just put our entire life into something else and then feel like we don't have to worry. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, if you realize that you cannot serve two masters, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else will be added unto you. That you can have the power to not worry. That you can have the power to not worry about what you will wear, what you will eat. Because life is so much more than that, right? That if we start becoming aware, just become aware of the things that we have to be grateful for, that we would live simply and realize that we don't need all this stuff. It can really give us an opportunity to be grateful. Because it's hard to be grateful when we live in a world of clutter. You know, like when we have and are surrounded by things, it becomes really hard to be grateful for the things we have because then all we're thinking about is about more things, right? We're thinking about the next car. We're thinking about the next purchase. Whatever it is, if we're surrounded by all these trophies that we've acquired ourselves, it's hard to think about what God has done for us. But if we give away, if we live this kind of lifestyle, only then can we realize what God is really doing in our lives. And then we become aware, and then we become grateful. So the first step to practicing a habit of gratitude is awareness. And the second step is actually doing the thing, is creating an action. That we create a gratitude habit. That we would start doing something, input something into our lives that would make us habitually grateful. That we would practice this. Diana writes this in her book, that she practiced writing one thing down that she is thankful for each day. And that's what I would encourage us to practice. And there's a blank space in your sermon notes. And just go ahead, like start tonight. Tonight is the first chance you have to write down one thing that you were grateful for today. One thing that happened that was good. That was good. And you could just be grateful for it and say thank you. And that we would do this every day, that we would write it down. There's something to that pen and paper, that thing of writing down one thing we are thankful for each day. Each day. Now, I know some of us are overachievers. I was not one, okay? But if you are an overachiever, there's extra credit, right? Okay, so Google Examine. It's a Christian practice started by Ignatius of Loyola. Google Examine and practice that. It's a process of giving thanks to God, of saying thank you and examining your day and how it went and what you're going to be thankful for tomorrow. It's this really great spiritual practice. We don't have a whole lot of time to go through it, but, you know, do it. And you know, like, I'm not going to give you anything for doing it, but you did it, you know, like you're your own reward, you know? So just practice that. Okay. So Google Examine it and practice it if you're interested. Here's the thing about all of this, creating this habit in our life, doing this thing, this won't be easy, right? Maybe you've done this before. Maybe you've had a bad habit, or maybe you tried to start a good habit. Whichever one it was, you realized how difficult that was, right? You saw it. Maybe you tried to start working out, you know, and you said every morning, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to work out, you know, and then 5 o'clock in the morning came and you said tomorrow, you know, and it was like, not today. No, I'm good. You know, or maybe, you know, you had a habit of like biting your fingernails or smoking or something that wasn't good for you, you know, but you did it anyways. And you said, you know, like, I got this habit and I'm going to stop, you know, and then something stressful happens. Right. And, you know, or then the cue comes, you know, maybe you had a big meal and you wanted a cigarette afterwards, or maybe you were watching a scary movie and you had to bite your fingernails or whatever it was. And you said, you know, I'll quit that later. You know, it's like we give up and we realize how difficult, how hard it is. And scripture verifies this. Paul talks about it in his letter to the Romans. And he says this, maybe you can relate. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate, right? We know this. It's not knowing the good thing that's the problem, right? It's doing it. We can know that working out is good for us. We can know that eating healthier is good for us. That doesn't make us do it, right? Like, that's the hard thing. That's the hard thing. And here's the thing. Paul writes about this thing. He writes about habits. He writes about actions. And what Paul knows is maybe what we know as well is that we cannot do this alone. We cannot do this alone. We need a Christian community. We need a group of other people who have devoted to follow Jesus, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need both those things in our life in order to do this. And maybe you've said, like, I've instituted habits in my life, you know, without other people. And if so, I'm really happy for you, and I'm thankful that you can do that. But if we're going to institute these things as spiritual practices in our life, we need the Christian community, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to do this. We're not going to worship our own will, right? We're not going to do it and then, like, look back on ourselves and say, look how much I did. No, we're going to say, look how much Christ did in my life. Look at the power of the Holy Spirit, because he overcame even my ability, right? That he was able to do this in my life. And again, Paul writes about this. We read earlier from Romans 7. In Romans 8, Paul writes this. And he said, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Right? So Paul says, if you're just focusing on the action, if you're just focusing on the flesh, your own body, you know, like, that's going to decay eventually. Like, you're going to die, and that thought, that intention is going to die with it. But if you focus on the Spirit, that if you're practicing gratitude just for gratitude itself, it's not going to be any good. But if we practice gratitude because God is good and we have a lot to be thankful for, that's a reason to practice gratitude. That's a good thing. That's good news. And we should do that and focus on God who's initiated it all. Not just on our own action, not just on what we want to happen, but focus on the power of the Holy Spirit that is much bigger than all of this. Paul says, look, if you just look at this own action, you're going to fail every time. But if you look beyond it, if you look at what God is doing in your life, if you look at the power that God has in your life, only then can we do this and have this kind of life and peace. And so we look at this action. We look at creating this kind of gratitude habit, and we think, you know, like, it's going to be difficult, and it is. But here's the thing, and research has proven this, and Charles Duhigg writes about this, and he says the best way to change a habit is by deciding ahead of time. That the best way to change a habit is by deciding ahead of time. Take a look at your cue. You know, if you have an ungrateful habit, if you have, like, kind of a nasty streak or whatever that is, look at what causes it. Is it driving in the car? Is it whenever, you know, the kids are fighting? Is it whenever you initiate a, you know, conversation with that person? Whatever that cue is, look at that and decide ahead of time how you're going to react differently. How you're going to react differently. That when I'm in the car and somebody cuts me off, I'm not going to be mad at that person, but thankful that I'm not in a wreck. You know, whenever the kids start fighting, I'm going to try to be thankful that I have children. You know, and I'm going to give thanks to God for my family. And when this conversation is initiated with me, I'm going to be thankful that the God of peace is in my life. That he has the power to even work within me, that I can bring peace and life to other people, even in the midst of hard conversations. That we're going to look ahead at the cue, at the thing that starts it all. And we're going to make a decision ahead of time that we're going to do something different. And here's the thing. If we do all of that, there will be good things that come from it. There will be good things that come from it. There will be a reward. There will be a reward. That this is the process of every habit, that at the end, there has to be a reward. There has to be a good thing that affirms that behavior, right? The chocolate, the thing that happens. And our reward is this, that we'll be able to honestly say that we are rejoicing in all things, that we are rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That we will be able to honestly say this, that if we practice this habit, if we do this thing, we will be able to say, thank you, God. Thank you. This is good in my life, and I thank you for it. Because here's the truth, that all these negative behaviors, this fear, this hatred, we can't have that and thankfulness at the same time. That we can't be, you name it, whatever that emotion is in your life that you struggle with, it's there. That we can't be that and thankful at the same time. We can't be scared. We can't be angry. We can't be worried. We can't be envious. We can't be wanting and be thankful at the same time. that if we let gratitude take hold of our lives, that it will overcome all of emotions. That we'll be able to be thankful in all things, in all circumstances. Now notice what the writer does not say. He doesn't say be thankful for all circumstances, right? That there are going to be some stuff that happens in our life that are bad. You know, like a cancer diagnosis is tough and is hard. And we will learn about gratitude in those situations, not gratitude for them, but gratitude in them. That we will have something to be thankful for, that we will be able to practice some kind of positive behavior, that some good will come out of this, that we believe in a God who even brought goodness out of death. And if we believe in that kind of God, then we believe in a God who can even bring good out of this. Whatever this is, that we can really be thankful. And so we're going to practice these action steps. My hope is that we practice this for the rest of our lives. That we practice these for the rest of our lives. That we will take a step toward living simply. That we would start seeing our stuff for what it really is. And that we would have our stuff that our stuff would not have us. Right? And that maybe we would make a practice of giving something away. Maybe you can see that thing in your mind right now. You say, look, we don't need it. You know, it's taking up space in our garage. It's taking up space in our attic. It's taking up space in our living room. We don't need this. And there's this person who could really use it. And Goodwill is always willing to take it. That I could give it to Habitat for Humanity. I could get rid of this thing and it would help me and it would help somebody else. Right? That we would take a step, some way of living more simply so that we can practice gratitude in our lives. And that we would start creating this gratitude habit. That we would start writing down maybe one thing that we're thankful for. That we would practice and examine this process of giving thanks to God. That we would initiate some kind of gratitude habit. And that we would have that reward. That we would truly be able to give thanks in all circumstances. Because we know that within a 5-mile radius of this place that there are 28,000 people, 28,000 people who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe with everything that I am that those 28,000 people don't know a need for a church community. They don't know why they would ever need a faith light. They don't know why they would ever need a church. Because whenever they look around them and they hear people talk about Jesus and they hear people talk about a church community, what they see is a group of people who are hypocrites. The common complaint against Christians is that all Christians are hypocrites, and you know what? They're exactly right. We believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus has the power to make us better, and most of the time, you know, we're going to mess up. But if we started living grateful lives, if we started giving thanks in all circumstances, we would live radically different lives. We would live radically different lives, and other people would start to notice us. Other people would start to see the way we're living, the smiles that we have on our face, the fact that we're giving stuff away, that we are looking at our stuff completely differently, that we would look at all and do all these things differently, and other people are going to ask us. That they're going to see the way we're living, and hopefully with this gratitude that we're living, this way that we're practicing, this simplification that we're living, they're going to look at our lives, and they're going to see what we're doing, and they're going to ask us, why we are doing this? Why do you practice this? Why do you give this away? Why are you smiling? Why are you grateful? And in those moments, in those times, we will get to tell them because of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we are grateful. Lord, you have done so much in our life. You have done so much for us, and tonight we give you thanks. We give you thanks, God, for who you truly are, for what you have really done in our life. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would work the power of the Holy Spirit within us. God, that in these moments we would begin to understand more of who you are and what you have done. God, we pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would give us strength and courage to live differently. That we would decide now how to do that. We would decide now what that cue is. God, that we would decide now how to live differently. And Lord, that you would give us the power to do it. That when the time comes, when the rubber meets the road, Lord, that we would live in that way that honors you, that glorifies you. God, we pray that you would do it within us. And we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen.